Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find links to prior podcasts from this meeting available in multiple formats. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle Podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Abby.
Hey everybody, my name's Abby. I'm a compulsive overeater recovering bulimic.
Hi, Abby.
And all the other things. I was sitting here, I'm like probably most body obsessor for today because that hasn't gone away completely. So, which is why I am so grateful to be in these rooms still 19 years later. And thank you, David, for asking me. It's funny, I've been going through like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do about this situation in my life? How am I going to manage and fix it? And it's like, I keep getting asked to lead a meeting or be of service. And I'm like, oh, wait, I don't have to do anything or figure it out. I just show up and God tells me what to do. And when I was sitting there listening to how it works, I was like, what am I going to talk about today? Because I already led a meeting this morning in another fellowship. And I'm like, I'm sick of my own voice. So I just heard the word spiritual progress today. And I was like, well, I really need to hear and like do a retrospective of like, how my higher power has taken care of me really in such a radical way the last 19 years plus that I've been in program. So that's what I'm gonna, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today is sort of track that because I need to be reminded that I'm totally taken care of every single moment of every single day. And why am I talking about that for the newcomers who are here to try and learn about, you know, how we stop compulsive overeating or the other food behaviors? And that's what I was looking for when I walked into these rooms January 2005. I was so horribly devastated that I couldn't lose the weight anymore, that all my old tricks hadn't worked. And, you know, I share this all the time, but January 2005, the reason it was January, because it was my New Year's resolution, of course, to lose the weight that I'd put on. I'd gained 30 pounds in 3 months in 2002 when I had left school and moved to New York for a really big job. And I didn't have the time anymore to do all of the things that counterbalance the compulsive eating. I couldn't be bulimic because the bathroom at work like was a two-staller. And I'm like, that's really tricky. Can't do that. And I couldn't exercise compulsively because I had this crazy big job. And, you know, the diet pills weren't working anymore because I kept passing out of the gym with those. So that stopped. I mean, the list goes on and on. I had basically exhausted everything. And so, in 2005, I'd moved to LA for work and I would go out in the world and just be so unbelievably horrified by myself and my body when I would walk into a room and I would compare myself to everybody in the room. It was the first thing that I did. Not be present, not try and be like, what's, how can I be of service here? How can I enjoy life? It was no, the laser focus of like, examining every single other person in the room, how I measured up, am I fatter, am I thinner, am I prettier, am I uglier? And that's just how I was wired. And I didn't realize that until I walked into the rooms and you guys told me like, that's a little bit of black and white thinking. Like somebody has to be the best or somebody has to be the worst. And that was the only way, this way I was raised and the way I knew how to live in the world. And the only way I knew how to survive is like, I had to be the best. And I wasn't the best at that moment. I was very much failing. And I decided to go back to a commercial diet program as the solution. Let's see if this one works this time around. It had worked before, and this time it wasn't working. And I was doing such crazy things with food. What it was looking like at that time is I would wake up in the morning, I wouldn't eat, I would go to the gym, I would go to my job, I would have a very small salad for lunch, and then around 4 o'clock, I would start doing the march from my desk to the snack room with like, and they had these little Dixie cups and just, and a wall of like little candy bowls. And I would just take my little Dixie cup and dip it into a bowl and go back to my desk. And then it was like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to the snack room. And I was able to handle the insane lunatic person I was working for because I was completely numb from all of these wonderful snacks. So it served a purpose, I learned later on, but I was just so horrified again by my body, because what would happen then, because I was in this commercial diet program, like, well, I can't eat dinner because I just fucked up all the counting I'm supposed to be doing, so I won't eat dinner, and then I'll come home and can we mention food here. I'm going to mention it. Sorry. But I was taking frozen bags of vegetables, stir-frying them, and pouring bottles of butter spray into the stir-fry and eating that. That's disgusting, but I was doing that almost every night. But then, more often than not, after that, later, you know, the whatever was happening, I didn't know because I didn't realize I was eating because I couldn't process my emotions. But later on in the evening, I would then start the binging, and then the cycle would start all over again the next day. So then when I stepped on the scale Saturday mornings at that commercial diet program, and the very nice lady, who I didn't think was very nice, because she was telling me I had gained, like, I don't know, 12 ounces, and I was just like, I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to kill myself. And that was just the devastation immediately of, like, I don't understand why I can't do this. I've been told all my life. I have a very big brain. I've figured most things out. Why can't I figure this out? I can't do it. And it was only because I literally had no other solution, because I'd already exhausted all the other ones, that I walked into these rooms. And I walked into these rooms because of a God shot, which is my binge buddy in college had been telling me about Overeaters Anonymous for about 6 months. She was in D.C., and she had – I always I have to share it because this is the way it happened for me. She wasn't attraction rather than promotion. How we learned to invite people into this program is we lived the program. She was like, you have to go to Overeaters Anonymous. You need it. You need to go right now. And so I was there. She didn't 12-step me. She 12-stomped me into the program. And so, you know, I've learned subsequently after being in the rooms, even though I'm like such a people pleaser and rule follower, that I have a major problem with authority. So if someone tells me to do something, I'm definitely not going to do it. So it only took like one weekend of like, I can't like be in the world anymore. Like I didn't realize it at the time, but I had suicidal ideation. I'm like, I may as well not be here anymore because I don't know how to succeed in life without getting my body to the place it needs to be for me to be successful. And so that's what it looked like. It was that dark. And that's what got me to overcome my judgment of the name and walk into the rooms. And here's the first God chat of me being in program. And this is how I choose to view my life now. All these synchronicities I choose to see as God and a power taking care of me that I can't even take care of myself this well. So I looked up a meeting. It was the log cabin, supposedly, on a Sunday morning. And I walk into the log cabin and like 150 people turn their heads and look at me. And because there was a guy already speaking. And I realized very quickly that I'd walked into an AA meeting that was already in progress. And I freaked out and had an anxiety attack. And I scurried to the little kitchen that was in the back of this log cabin. And lo and behold, there was another girl my age standing there looking a little shell-shocked. And she was like, are you here for an OA meeting? I'm like, I'm here for an OA meeting. She's like, well, I think it's listed wrong on the website. So I think there's another meeting in Roxbury Park that's happening very soon. You know, I can give you the address. And I was like, yes, please. Yes. And so because that woman was there, also hiding in the kitchen in an AA meeting looking for an OA meeting, that I was willing to go actually to my first OA meeting. And had that woman not been there, I 100% would have left and probably never come back. Who knows? I don't know. That's me. That's not God. But like, thank God, God was working my life in that moment to get me to my first OA meeting. And at that Roxbury Park meeting, you know, I walked in, I was 24 when I walked in, and the people around me did not look like me, but what they were saying was all of the crazy stuff that was in my brain and how they felt the same way about their bodies that I did about mine, no matter what they looked like. And they were all shapes and sizes, and it was crazy to be able to relate in such a deep that, like, that's the spiritual experience. It's like something resonated like in my chest. And I'm like, I'm going to keep checking this thing out. And my second meeting was a women's meeting on Sundays. And I walked in and it was just, the woman who led was telling my story. And my second God shot of program, I didn't know what was happening in my body. I was the kind of person who, I'm sorry for you guys, but I don't get scared. I don't get sad. Like, I just don't feel those feelings at the time. Like, you guys, sorry for you, but I just didn't. I didn't cry. I'm like a doer at the time is what I thought. And I was sitting there listening to this woman's story, and I started shaking. And I had to, like, grab my chair to, like, keep myself in this seat. I'm like, I don't know what's happening in my body. This water stuff is coming out of my eyes. And I, like, it was truly, like, something in my body, like, just broke a little bit of just, I started crying. And then I was like, now I definitely need to be, now I definitely need to be here because something is happening. I was willing to stick with that. And people were, had that look of, like, serenity. That look of peace, not such anguish, tight holding on that I inevitably, I know, looked like at the time. Because I look back at pictures and I'm like, oh, that poor girl, she looks so tense. Also, she had all these feelings she wasn't letting out. So, like, constipated with emotion. So I stayed. And another God shot was I got no physical recovery for 2 years. I know that sounds may sound scary to anybody listening or a newcomer, but I now know that I had to have it be that way because if I had gotten the physical recovery fast, I would have been out and been like, I got the hang of this. But what I had to learn was the spiritual and emotional physical recovery before I got the physical. I had to learn to use these other tools that program gives us. And I had to learn that I was not special in terms of not feeling feelings. I was numbing them. And in order to process them and my feelings weren't going to kill me, I needed to learn these other tools. So writing became a really big one for me. I first had a lot of resistance because my mother used to write in a journal every night, but she literally would write the food and the restaurant that we ate, and then that's it. That was her journal writing. And I'm like, well, you're a lunatic person, so I'm never, that's not a good tool. And then enough people in program were like, especially as a bulimic, to get those big feelings out of your head and onto paper instead of in the toilet is really helpful. And I found that to be the case. So I started using the tool of writing. God blessed me with a sponsor. I heard everyone say, find somebody who has what you want and do what they do. She was thin. She was brunette. She was married. She was in my industry. And I was like, you. And it was, I was so scared. It was so vulnerable. So again, I do feel fear, it turns out, when something is like really real and vulnerable. And I was not used to that feeling and I did it anyway. And that was God taking care of me because I'm still with that sponsor now. So I've been working with the same sponsor for 19 years. And that is a gifted program to put this woman in my life who taught me what unconditional love is and just such gentleness and grace and again, like not an authority figure, because if I had had a first sponsor that was that kind of like authoritative military person, I would have been right out. So I just started doing what she told me to do. And it was just putting some space in the beginning between me and the food, which meant no more of the not eating all day long, that pendulum swing that went the other way. It was, okay, can we just do 3 meals all on one plate? That plate can be heaped up as much as you would like it to. Every meal, even a snack on a plate. So we did the red light, yellow light, green light list. And it wasn't just the foods, the alcoholic foods, but it was the behaviors. So standing up and eating. What else? Standing up and eating is a real, it's like, that's when I know that I'm in a state of like, I'm trying to take the edge off because I can't even sit down and have a God pause to have a meal. So really things all on one plate. And boundaried meals. And that gave me the space to let the feelings start coming up and then put them on paper or start calling people using that tool of connecting with fellows and going to meetings and talking and sharing in meetings. And it took me a while before I could cry. I think like for real, like 10 years. And we'll get to that. Because it turns out there was so much numbing that I was doing that I had to like gently peel away the layers of the onion, like bit by bit. And again, that's God's time, not my time. And I still get really pissed off. I'm very pissed off right now that things aren't happening in my time, which is why thank you for people who are asking me to be of service. I have a new sponsee as well. So it's like, I can't dwell too much on like why things aren't going in my time. Cause like my schedule is being filled up with service. Thank God. So what happened? So fast forward to me working the program, I'll get to another God shot, which was I started working with some outside help, a nutritionist, about 2 years in. Somebody my sponsor recommended is very familiar with 12-step, and she did all the sciencey stuff. And I always share this just because like it just goes to show I don't know anything and God knows more than me. And so she did all the sciencey stuff, and she's like, how much do you think you should weigh? And I said the number, which I've always know exactly what I should. I did all the research, BMI, blah, blah, blah. And it didn't end at a 0 to a 5. It ends in 6. Sure. And she's like, where did you get that number? And I'm like, again, research. I know these things. And she's like, well, that's really interesting because me, the professional who's used all this science, your lowest set weight should be 14 pounds more than that. So anytime you were trying, you were below that or you're trying to get below that, you were in starvation mode. I was like, huh, interesting. Okay, lady. So that like took a lot of pressure off. Like, okay, wow, maybe I don't have to hate my body as much as I thought I did because it's been an evolution of getting into acceptance. Like I am shaped a certain way. That's cool. It's okay. And like, in fact, the recovery and the spiritual progress is that for the most part, truly, I really appreciate my body today. There are moments where I get into body obsession, but that's because I've got something else going on I'm trying to control. And now then, you know, it's easier to focus on this thing that I can control, which I can't anyway. Oxymoron. So I started working with her, but the weight still wasn't coming off. And so I did the thing you guys tell me to do, find people who have what you want and do what they do. So I started polling people in program who had physical recovery, asking, what did you do? And all the people who I admired who had physical recovery said, I get on my knees in the morning. And that was not the answer I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear more like food planning stuff. And, you know, at this point, 2+ years into program, like, okay, I'm willing to try. And in terms of the evolution of what my faith was, like I was really acting as if up until that point. I was raised in a religion. I was raised a Jew. But, you know, I always joke, we did not have any sort of spirituality. We prayed to the gods of achievement. So I did not know what a spiritual connection was. I had no concept of something taking care of me. No. What's taking care of? That's for weak people. Achieving. That's what we're here for in this life. So it's been a lot of unwinding that wiring and that messaging. And so when I first started getting on my knees, I really did it just to act as if. Like, okay, if I'm going to get on my knees, this higher power that I'm connecting with first thing in the morning can really do something for me. And lo and behold, the weight started coming off. So that was another link in the daisy chain of me having faith that there's something out there that is taking care of me better than I could ever try and imagine taking care of myself. Thank God. So, you know, that was the evolution in terms of the physical, emotional and spiritual recovery in this program until 10 years into program. So things are going coasting along. I've got a program. It's how I deal with my life. For most part, you know, I'm in a good place. I don't hate my body. I'm wearing the same clothing size. That's a miracle for 10 years. Until I have what I call my spiritual shitstorm. Sorry for the podcasters. But what happened in 2016? Well, a year previously, I had had, this is where I started crying. I'd had an experience where, talk about like still praying to the gods of achievement. I had a big, huge full-time job that like is 80 hours a week. I then also created a side project a television show that I sold on the side of my big day job. And I had these two things that I was doing, which is insane. And I had gone to Palm Springs to visit my parents who were visiting some friends down with my sister. And I'd already said to my parents, like, this is really not a good time. I'm like, got a big work trip coming up. I've got this show that's about to start to production. And they're like, it's okay. You'll figure it out. Because that's the way they talk. And so I went down and something, it was God's timing of like, it was time to see like what really happened to me as a kid or start the process. Because the messaging I had gotten was that I was just this defective kid. You know, before I even had the, you know, I'm too fat, eating disorder, or you're too fat, put on a diet program when I was like, I don't know, somewhere between 8 and 10. Prior to that, I had also other compulsions that like got me sent to therapy at age 7. So like there was this message that there was something very wrong with me and I needed to fix. I needed to figure out how to fix it. And so I, you know, that's what I was doing. You know, I was still an outside help. I was, you know, the OA thing was helping with the weight stuff. I was managing that. And then I went down to Palm Springs, and something, like, again, God's time, the veil was lifted. And I saw the difference between my mother and, like, her best friend. And her best friend kept making comments about my mother acting like a lunatic. And all of a sudden, I started hearing it. And because I would always be defensive and defending her and her behavior when she would lose her mind in public places or all sorts of other things like that. So what happened, though, was that night I tried to show, like a little kid, literally it's like a little kid coming home from school. I tried to show them something from my television show. And my mother, drunk, was like, "Oh, this is boring. Turn it off." And like something inside me broke. And I just like took my laptop and I went and I found my sister, and she had never seen me like that. And she's like, "What is wrong with you?" And I was like, "Come with me." And we went into my car and I just lost it. I became hysterical. And my sister, who's 5 years younger than me, she had never seen me cry, really. So she was completely freaked out. And we come from a family where emotions is not a thing. So she just like patted me. She was like, "I think you need to go back to therapy." So that was the start of my journey of like this new layer of the onion getting peeled. And through this, my food, because of program, was totally fine. And I'm like, that is such a miracle through this stuff that I started dealing with. And I'm going to keep it to away, but I can't help but talk about this other stuff, that I learned and had to go to other programs for. So what happened then was I was still working this crazy job, going to outside help, starting to unwind, like, oh, wait, people don't scream at children when they're starting to be compulsive? That's not like a thing. That's not a normal reaction. And my therapist is like, "No, perhaps you can leave room, that is not the most gentle, loving way to react." And like, I started looking at my family in a new way, and that perhaps I had needed these compulsions to check me out of a really scary situation of people who were just not equipped to raise children because of the environments that they came from. But I didn't get to that compassion for a while. Now I was like, what in the what? I've been sold a bill of goods and a story that I was defective this whole time, and that's really not fair. But like, still crazy job until another God shot. God removed all of that for me so that I could spend time and have the resources to really do some healing of this next layer of the onion. So cut back to that spiritual S storm. I, in 2016, got fired. We all got laid off. My big job, the show didn't get renewed. I got a DUI, and I had another relationshipy situation that I didn't want to be in and felt really terrible. And so now I had a lot of time and to sort of examine what was going on in my life. And there's nothing like staring at a jail cell wall in Santa Monica being like, "I think I got to work on some new things," because that was a real wake-up call. And I went to another program because I realized I had some stuff. I first went to the People program and I was like, that's not what I need to hear. I need to hear about like what happened to you as a kid. So that led me to the growing up in a dysfunctional, an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional home program. And through the inventories in that, I really came to understand this notion for me. This is just my story, that I thank God, this is a God shot, that my little brain came up with so many different ways to numb me from this experience. Like, or else my brain would have cracked and I would have had to go to an institution. Like, I like found my own pharmacy, like, yay for me, little me, well done. And so got to really start seeing, having compassion for myself and understanding I'm not defective. I was a kid doing the best that I could. And so then when I go to the food today, so going back to, you know, what it's like today, if stuff comes up, if the body obsession comes up, I'm like, oh, this is my coping mechanism that I know how to rely on so easily. This is the old bag of tricks that I got, that I learned to, was so resourceful as a kid, but I've got this whole new bag of tricks that I can rely on. So how much time do we got? Oh, lots of time. Okay. So what happened after I learned this? Well, I also learned I had a part in so many of the dynamics. I kept working in environments for like famously lunatic human beings and being really good at that. And I got to take a look at, like, well, there's a common denominator in this situation. That common denominator is me. So let's take a look at, like, with a compassionate lens, why perhaps that, like, this God keeps putting me in these situations. Because, like, I don't want to do this anymore. But it took me a really long time to sort of unpack that, because I need to numb when I'm in those situations. And if I'm abandoning myself, I need to numb. So I started learning with a whole nother program the strategies that I use when I'm in situations with people that remind me of my mother. And so I had to learn all of these new things, like boundaries. Those are very hard. That's a muscle you have to learn. And, like, talk about spiritual progress. Like, that is something I have to have a lot, like a little kid, just a lot of gentleness for myself of, like, it is very hard for me to set boundaries. But if I don't, then I'm going to eat over it or compulse over it in a different way. And so, you know, I still get put in situations with people who have a lot of mental illness because that's the business I work in. But I have these new tools and I do not abandon myself no matter what. That's like a bottom line in another program. So what's it look like? So I had all this free time to do all this work, and what a God shot. I got this like crazy severance from my job that allowed me to do this for a year and a half. That's unheard of. Like, that is such a gift from God to be able to have the space to work on this stuff. And through that, I really got to, like, my body, it's like, what does it say? We recoil as if from a hot flame, from the alcoholic foods. Now I started to feel that in situations with people where I was behaving in a way that was like a little kid. And so I recognize that now in so many of my patterns of behavior, it's like, oh, if I'm sober enough from the food and all the other things, I can feel that in my body. I do feel things now. I do feel fear. I can feel toxicity. I can feel, you know, angry, sad, all of these things. And then it's on me, because I'm an adult now, to take care of myself. The kid thing to do is to numb. And I don't have to do that anymore. I can be my own loving parent and have other tools. So then I ended up, like, this is where faith comes in. It's like, I cannot at the time, what was it? The end of 2018. I was like, I'm running out of money and I cannot go back to those toxic environments. And this is, my experience has been God provides me that like siren song opportunity, like, hey, here's this one. You can go back to that thing. It's a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. Or you can have faith and work that faith muscle that the right thing that's going to feel good is coming. So this is a huge God shot from all of this work. So I had the end of 2018, I had a really rough situation, toxic situation in a work thing that I had created and got involved with people from program. And I now have new bottom lines and boundaries that I don't get involved in work things with people in program. And so I was willing to walk away from that, which is a faith thing. And I had these two opportunities. Go back to one of these environments I used to work in. I remember walking into the building on that lot and like every cell in my body was just like, run, do not work here. And I know if I had gone back into that situation, I would have had to numb with food, like, or anything else and abandon myself and all the things that would lead me to body obsession, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I just gotta trust my higher power on this one. And like a month and a half later, I was going to a business trip where I was going to be able to network a lot. And I was like, okay, if I come back from that business trip and I have no opportunities, I guess God wants me to go to this horrible toxic place. And I'm only being specific because I think it's funny that my higher power is so dramatic. I mean, I do work in storytelling, so I like it to be drama. So I was right a week before I was going on this business trip through a networking email group I'm in. And this is another thing somebody told me to do. Again, I very much listened to people in program. People had gone through job transitions in program, told me, like, you know how you write a want ad for God, like the higher power that you want? You can write, like, I want exactly what you want. I want my higher power to unconditionally loving and take care of me all the time. And I want to, you know, list it and it can happen. So I did that with a job. I'm like, I want a job where I can do this, 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 and this. And I got an email a week before this business trip looking for a person who had my skill set, and it listed all of the things I wanted to do. And the title of this project was called Raised by Wolves. And I had just spent 3 years investigating how I got raised by wolves. And I was like, God, I like that. That's very funny. I see you. And I got it. And it was right like in the nick of time financially. And that was another like, okay, I'm being taken care of. Like if I keep walking towards health and I make am my own loving parent to make sure I'm not putting myself in toxic situations, God's got it. And it set me on this path that was 2019 that I've been on of like where I just follow the breadcrumbs of what God wants. Like I have no – I had – where I am today, which is another transition in my career to do a thing that is so service-oriented, but it's only because I've peeled away so many layers of the onion to get to that inner super vulnerable little kid who's like, no, I wanted to do this thing the whole time and nobody saw and listened to me and this is what I really want to do. And so I'm doing it, and I'm doing it completely on faith. And it's really hard, and I have to be so vulnerable, and it's bringing up so much other stuff that I keep saying to my outside help, I'm like, are we done yet? Like, are we done with trauma? Can we, like, be done with this? And she's like, no, this is because you're being vulnerable in your life. Like, this is a good thing. This is all good. This is stuff for healing and then expansion and you know, and then I work all of the modalities and program. And so that's why the body obsession is coming up just to go to where I am right now is like, I feel so out of control and I have no idea. I can't like map it out of like, okay, if I do this and I do this, I want to be the straight A student. I want to know exactly what I need to do to get the thing that I want. And I don't have that right now. And things are not going like, thank you. I see that. Yesterday I had a phone call where I thought like, okay, we're having this phone call and then this thing that I want to go out in the world is going to go. And one of my partners, no, yesterday just pulled out of the project. And that's like enough. I'm like, no, I want this thing so bad. Oh my God. But because I've been doing so much service, I've been doing so much writing and I've been so close to my higher power. Earlier in the week, I'd done writing like, all right, higher power, I want you to guide because I knew this call was coming up. This is how I deal with my anxiety today. I don't eat over it. No matter what. I haven't broken my abstinence. Do I take extra bites? Sure. Do I obsess about my body? Sure. But like, it's such a minimal part of my day because that's just a red flag when I'm like, what do my pants look like? What do I do? That's like, okay, I got to do some writing. So Tuesday I did some writing. I'm like, God, I trust this to you to see it through of like, however it needs to go for the maximum amount of service for myself and others. And so while like yesterday I was like totally thrown through a loop, the muscle of this spiritual progress came up and was like, perhaps this is God taking care of you. And this person wasn't the right person for this, for the thing that you want. And the fact that that is even a voice in my, like, that's the thing, that's the wiring now. It's not about like, well, am I the best? Am I the worst? No, it's like, okay, God, it's, I'm trusting you. I'm here to be of service. And I don't have to think about my pants all day long. Like that is the miracle. That is the God shot. I have this way of living that I have no idea how other people out there do it, but I'm so glad that we get it. And I wouldn't be able to walk this life. And I wouldn't be here without this program, these steps, these traditions, and all of you guys teaching me how to do it. So thanks for letting me share. Questions?
You mentioned unwinding from the God of achievement, mm-hmm. and especially like when there's the temptation around you, like you talked about your environs and mm-hmm. like getting bombarded constantly with like all that evidence. Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, thanks. The question was, how did I unwind that thinking of being in the God of achievement? It was this daisy chain of. There was a moment, I think I skipped it, in my career is very important to me. So that's where, for me, like I see a lot of the things because I'm so focused on it that I see God working in my life in such magical ways. So when I'd moved to LA for a very specific job and they told me, and I was working so crazy and underpaid, and they told me I was going to get promoted if I just stuck with them. They were reorganizing the company. And I'm like, I'm going to be the youngest this thing in town and la 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 at this company that I love. And like 8 months later, like, sorry, hiring a promotion freeze. That thing we told you, you're not going to get it. And I was so devastated because I had worked so hard and I deserved it and I couldn't believe I had sacrificed. And what ended up happening is I had to leave that company and get this other job. And then that company that I left ended up exploding. They had to get mediators because it was so toxic and blah, 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 blah. And I was off on this other path of like, God just needed to nudge me this way because I didn't know. And just seeing those things happen of like, oh, I don't know what's best. I don't know that plan. Reminds me of like, oh, to relax into the process. And I have gotten stuff that I wanted. And then there's another problem. My sponsor always reminds me like, you're going to get the thing you want. And then there's going to be another set of problems. And it's not to not enjoy, achievement, but it's like, that's not why we're here. Because that's like the food. That like wears off in a second. And then I'm on to the next thing that I can achieve. So it's almost like an addiction. So that's how I choose to look at it. And like, okay, is it that feeling in my chest that I got at that meeting? It's like, is something making me feel like that? That's what I'm looking for, not the cash and prizes anymore.
Aspects of that vulnerability and when you get into fear and acknowledging how positive that is.
Yeah, can I talk about vulnerability and fear and that it's a positive thing? Well, it's my guidance system now. So when I was numb and I'm numbing myself, I can't hear, you know, some people, like it's my intuition, which I believe is from my higher power, and I have such a radical commitment to it because it steers me in where I need to go. That's the God path. And if I'm numbing that, then I'm not feeling anything, and then I'm not hearing that voice. And so when I'm feeling the fear, oftentimes it's not faith or fear, it's faith and fear. And I have these tools now to walk through the fear and examine the fear and look at why it's coming up. And my experience has been, if you're trying something new, there's going to be fear. Like that's a normal response to a new situation. And, you know, my outside help always reminds me that I have a very hard time not being in mastery. I want to be very good right away. And this thing that I'm doing, I'm writing now, like you are not very good right away. You're very bad right away. And so I've had to really sit with a lot of vulnerability about progress, about one day at a time, just showing up, not about achievement. It is about showing up for this thing that like my soul wants to do. And I have to trust that even though sometimes it feels like I'm, you know, being skinned alive sometimes, like I'm not going to die and God's got it. And there are people in program who have walked through it. And if I can use my tools, I can walk through those feelings. And, you know, they say it only takes 90 seconds to feel a feeling if I'm willing to feel it. It's like riding the waves. I forget because that feeling feels like you're stuck in that moment forever. But I have all these tools that help me sit through it. And if I can be a human being and not a human doing, then like I can process the feelings. But to talk about progress, not perfection, because I'm still working on it. Anybody else? We got time.
Thank you so much. Can you talk about when you first came in, how you got your sponsor, how you figured out your abstinence, your food plan, and all of that stuff in the very beginning?
Yeah, thanks. Can I talk about my abstinence and food plan, how I found a sponsor and the beginning stuff? So I really just listened to what people said and what kind people there are who are newcomer contacts and call the newcomers. Because this was another God shot, like that Sunday women's meeting, the newcomer contact called me and did that service and sort of explained everything to me. Like, this is what we do. It's all suggestion. But we start working the steps and a sponsor was the person that is like your guide through that. So find somebody who has what you want. And she didn't tell me what I should want. I decided what I wanted again, which was someone who is thin. You know, my vanity took over, but, you know, God used my vanity to steer me to the right person. And it was back at the log cabin on a Saturday meeting at the right time that she stood up. She was the newcomer contact. And I just went up to her and it was like, I don't know about you guys. In my high school, all the girls asked the guys to dances and it was terrifying. And so I felt that feeling of like, I'm asking someone to be my date. This is horrible. I hate this feeling. And so I went up to her and like, I just pushed through that fear because I just wanted recovery so badly. I had the gift of desperation. that, which is also a miracle, which is another God shot. I was willing to push through that fear at that time. Turns out I was feeling feelings, because I did feel anxiety in that time. And I asked her, and she said yes, and that was a miracle. And then she had me do a food history, so to go through like anything I could remember with food and body until me meeting her. And from that, we came up with a red light list. Those are foods and behaviors that like don't work for me. Those are my alcoholic foods, alcoholic behaviors, yellow sometimes, and then red, red, yellow, green. Green, I'm not gonna, like vegetables, blah, blah, blah. So in the beginning, I did have foods I didn't eat. Like from that snack room, which I was still sitting near, like peanut M&Ms were a no-go. Chocolate chip cookies were a no-go. But my food plans evolved over years. I've had health stuff. I get outside help for it. I don't make drastic changes. I still stick pretty much to 3 meals a day, 2 snacks. But again, I don't do anything about my food without running it through Fellows and my sponsor. Like, trust me, with all of the diet fads right now out there, like they call, they're like a siren song to me. And I just talked to my sponsor about it. And I just talked to my Fellows about it. And, you know, I work the program because that's what works for me.
Thank you so much. I related so much to what you shared. Can you tell us what happened after you had the breakdown, kind of like with your mother and in the car, and how you worked through that, took care of yourself?
Okay, thank you. I'll wrap up and answer this. How did I take care of myself after that breakdown? One moment to the next. Like asking God for help to show me what the people who can help me walk through this. And that's how another program came up, which I'm happy to talk to you about afterwards. A different kind of outside help therapist who specializes in what I grew up in, and just taking it one moment at a time. And it was really hard. But I can say the miracle is on the other side. So that started in 2015. Now I have a great relationship with my parents. I can spend time with them. I am not triggered by them. I'm going to call my mother tomorrow, Mother's Day. We're going to have a lovely call. And that is a true miracle that I can be around them and not feel anything, you know, any activation, which is, whew, can't believe God there. Thank you. Thank you, God. And all my therapists. And program. All right. Thanks for letting me share.
It is now time for our seventh tradition. While we have no dues or fees, we do have expenses for this meeting, and each group ought to be fully self-supporting.